My next guest is on the line. She is Sinenhlanhla Masilela. She's a journalist at IOL, that's Independent Online, and has written a really interesting story about a Pretoria property seller who has been ordered by the courts to refund over 600,000 rand after concealing defects. I'm going to hand over to you, Sinenhlanhla. Firstly, thanks for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon, but give me the background story to this case.
Thank you for having me on your radio station. Okay, I will start from the beginning. What I wrote now, what we are focusing on now is the appeal. But actually, the story dates back from 2017, and it went to court in 2023. This is the first judgment. It was made in 2023, September, where the court had ordered this property owner to refund the buyer. Over 600,000, that's also including interest. So what had happened is this woman from Pretoria saw this land. It was a vacant land. She saw the land and there was an advert obviously saying we are selling the land. She was interested, bought the land, and then only when she went to the municipality to hand in her plan, as in her house plan to build over the land, that's when she realized actually that the land can't be built on because of sink formation and it's a dolomite area. That's when she found out.
No, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, honestly, if I had been her and I was buying in the sort of Centurion Pretoria-y area, probably the first question that I would have asked would have been, are there sinkholes and is this a dolomite area? Because it's known to be riddled with dolomite, which makes it impossible to build on because you'll just never get insurance on your property. I presume, though, that wasn't the case in this case.
Clearly she didn't have any information regarding the area. She thought she was buying from a reputable property owner. She didn't have any reason to suspect that the area has been like that. In fact, the area, there were people were trying to develop the area as early as 2000, but there was a report which stopped everything from being developed. So she was also part of the people who were, you know, not really informed regarding the area in Centurion. And like you said, Centurion is an area where there's a very high risk of sink formation.
But I do guess that this boils down actually to being a question of fact. And what did the seller know or not know? And did he conceal the knowledge? I guess, I mean, am I correct? Is that what it boiled down to? Or did the court see it differently?
No, the court, according to the evidence which was submitted in court, the property owner knew about the defects on the land because prior, there were people, there were prior to this lady buying this land, there were other people who wanted to build on that land, okay? But there was a report that was released in 2001, which stopped everything. And that report was in the municipality's office. And then when this property owner bought the land in sometime in 2016 at an auction, he was given the report that this is the condition of the land. He was given that report, but despite that report, he sold the land knowing that there's actually defects on that land. But then his argument was that the report does say there's defects, however the geologist advised that when you build, you should be extra, take caution, you know. He tried it to, you know, play it very lightly. So the courts were like, no, you. And then what's very interesting about this guy also, he wanted to rely heavily on that, excuse my pronunciation, the footstoots.
Very good pronunciation.
Okay, these legal terms, you know. Yes, he wanted to rely heavily on that, but then he was reminded that no, food stamps doesn't work like that.
Sorry, Sinenhlanhla, can I just interrupt for one moment, because I just want us to make sure that everybody understands. Food stamps is a old Roman Dutch term which actually means sold as is, and it's very much a part of South African law in that you buy a piece of property, you buy food stamps. That's part of the common law, and it's found its way into many written contracts, and it basically protects the seller to a very large extent, because you don't have to reveal anything that can be seen by the naked eye. I'm not sure, though, and I'd love you to weigh in on this. I understand you're not a lawyer, but you are a journalist and you're au fait with the case. Surely, though, a footstoots clause can't help you when you have deliberately concealed a material fact.
Yes, you got it right. Footstoots can be used if you're using it in bad faith. You know, you are being dishonest. You can't use it like that. But if it can be proven that you as a seller as well, you didn't know, then you can rely on it. But in this case, the seller knew there was evidence. Yeah. Remember the documents, the report from the municipality. He had those documents, but he claims that he didn't go through the documents when he was handed the documents from the municipality. He just got the documents and then put them somewhere in the house, never went through them.
See, in Atlanta, it's interesting because, if you look at the development of South African law over the last 10, 15, even 20 years, so much more emphasis has been put on consumer protection than there ever has been before. And you kind of wonder if there's even space for the footstoots clause to exist anymore.
Well, not referencing, can I just expand a bit on this, on the consumer rights?
Sure.
I have picked up a trend because I write a lot about consumer rights and, businesses, big businesses, where they mistreat consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, footstoots, it's there, but then now lately we deal a lot with even big brands, very unscrupulous businesses, the way they do business with people, they throw their weight around, mm-hmm. they mistreat people. For them, it's greed, making money, not caring about the client. Understand. So to a certain extent, footstoots, it's there, but it hardly protects the seller, because most sellers, majority of the sellers, they are not honest towards consumers. And that also goes for big brands that you would never imagine that they will do you wrong.
Gosh, that is so surprising. I really didn't expect you to say that. I would have thought big brands are out there looking after their consumers
exactly.
and wanting them to come back. And
be,
why alienate your consumer? It doesn't make business sense to me. Why would you do that?
You won't believe it, especially with car dealerships. As soon as you sign the contract, you take that car, you're on your own. You are on your own. They would rather... I've seen a lot of cases like this, and it's so shocking. They would rather pump in money fighting you as opposed to giving you 1 rand to fix your issue. They would rather spend millions fighting you as opposed to fixing the issue. The example, the seller. The seller spent over six years of it, fighting this woman instead of, fixing this issue. He went through a lengthy appeal process, which every appeal he has lost, and that the cost he's bearing the cost of these appeals, it's so crazy. Instead of him saying, okay, let's settle, let's do this, they would never do that. Never.
And, I don't want to minimize for 1 minute the trauma and the angst that the plaintiff would have gone through over this period. I mean, I don't know her circumstances. I don't know if she's a wealthy woman or not. But to have that kind of money tied up in a useless piece of land, and meanwhile, you probably don't have finance to build an alternative home. I mean, the circumstances, the stress that her family must have gone through must be unimaginable.
Yeah, it is. It is, because obviously when you buy a house, you're not thinking that all of us, when we, most people, when we buy houses, We buy them from a point of happiness and joy,
exactly.
And seeing an accomplishment. You're not thinking that you're entering into a world of stress and depression.
100%.
You're not thinking it like, yeah.
100%.
So I can imagine the turmoil, the stress the woman has been, you know, thrusted into, because now it's not only her not having her money back, but now she's also spending money fighting this man.
Sure.
Because the legal costs are not free. They're not for free.
Final,
I can imagine, yeah.
Final question for you, just in your experience as a consumer journalist, how common are stories like this?
Very common. Some are not even in the courts. Very common. 80% of my time I cover such stories. Some are just people coming to me directly. These are people who don't even have the financial muscle to go to the courts. These are people who are seeking media attention, that maybe if my story gets out in the media, I might attract someone who will be able to help me. You know, people don't have the money. Some people use their last savings to buy whatever they want. For an example, just to explain a bit, last year I wrote a story on this couple. They used their money to buy two cars that they wanted to use for business. In their heads, not in their heads. They were told that these cars are brand new cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they also aimed for brand new cars, because they wanted to start transport business. Turned out the cars were demos. They were used and they were even fit for. Yeah,
that's
exactly. They were not even fit for. Yeah, it was for, and even the cars themselves, they were not fit for purpose. You know, so it's very common for consumers to be hoodwinked by business people.
Senenhlanhla Masilela, carry on doing what you're doing and talk to me about it now and again. Interesting to touch base.
Yeah. Thank you so much.